Oh, I have to read a verse I wrote on my hand before sweat erases it. I just thought of it when I was sitting back there. Psalm 85. Let's go to Psalm 85. Okay, this is pre-teaching. Is that all right?
Yes.
You know. Okay. Psalm 85. I just thought of this. Jerry, thank you for the privilege of sharing God's word. What a privilege it is anytime, anywhere, anyone we talk to. Psalm 85, verse 10. It says, mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Isn't that a beautiful verse? Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Where you find righteousness, you find peace. And that's really an awesome thing. Let's go to Psalm 145, please. Psalm 145. Okay, this is the official part of the teaching, okay? Psalm 145. We're going to look at the things that we've been freely given. Well, some of the things that we've been freely given. We're going to see that God's nature is to give. We're going to see that God gave us spirit that comes with all kinds of cool functions. And we're just going to then have a fun time looking at things that God's given to us. I just love this verse. It's plastered in my office. Psalm 145, we're going to start in verse 15. I even brought my fancy Bible for this tonight. I usually use my dollar Bible, but this has the words of Jesus in red. So, yeah, fancy. Psalm 145, verse 15. It says, the eyes of all wait upon thee, and thou givest them their meat in due season. You know, when we need something, oftentimes we get a little anxious for it. But God gives meat in due season at the right time, just when it's needed. And then it says in verse 16, thou openest thine hand and satisfiest the desire of every living thing. That's the nature of our God. Our God is a giving God. He opens his hands and satisfies the desire of every living thing. Everything good comes from our God. His nature is to give. And that's the loving kind of God that he is. Let's go to Romans, please, chapter 11. Boy, we sure covered some awesome things in God's word. I hope that we take time to kind of reevaluate what we think of ourselves in light of the things that we heard today. Seems to me God kind of really loves us. Romans 9, 10, and 11, you know, it's talking to Jews, talking to Gentiles in these three chapters, and, you know, kind of goes back and forth. By the time we get to this section of chapter 11, he's actually comparing Jews and Gentiles. And he says in verse 32, Romans 11 and verse 32, for God hath concluded them all, and the all he's talking about are Jews and Gentiles, okay, basically everybody. He concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all. He said you all were in unbelief, in not obeying, but that he might show mercy upon them all. It doesn't matter if you're a Presbyterian or a Muslim or a Democrat or a Charlottean. Those are people from Charlotte. We had at our Pentecost weekend, we had some believers visit us from Charlotte, North Carolina, and Ryan Sanders was leading the meeting, and he goes, what do you call yourselves, charlatans? That didn't go over so good with them. The charlatans. But see, it doesn't really matter because God concluded them all in unbelief. So that was the starting point. Well, I thought we heard that pretty clearly today in the sharings. Let's go up to verse 29. Verse 29. It says, for the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. I've heard this verse taught weird ways. But the key to this verse, to understand it, is those words, without repentance. And the words without repentance mean they're irrevocable. Okay, and irrevocable means that it can't be taken back. You know, it's not revocable. Not that anyone in this room has ever been in this situation, but you know, if you have too many offenses against you driving, you know what they do to your license? Oh, you do know. Yeah, they revoke it. They revoke your license. They take it back, right? Well, that's okay. All in unbelief. It gets better, though. They revoke it. God says the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. He can't take them back. God can't take them back. The gifts and the calling, he can't take them back. They're never on the chopping block. It's never an option. So many Christians think that God doesn't really give. He kind of gives until something goes wrong. But that is not our God. The gifts and the calling of God, they're not revocable. He can't recall them. He's given them, and that's all there is to it. Numbers 23. I think the key to what benefit that we get from reading God's word about what he says about us is what we do think about God. I just loved it last night when Jerry shared about how, you know, your attitude, how you approach the word of God is such a key in our lives. You know, the key to our spiritual success is how we approach God's word. And what do we think of God? If we think little of his word, really it honestly doesn't mean much what we say up here, right? But if we think God's word is his will, like we heard last night, if we think God's word is his will and that God brings it to pass, then it makes a big difference what we share. In Numbers 23, verse 19, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. And then he tells us, look, hath he said and shall he not do it? Hath he spoken and shall he not make it good? It's an emphasis there. Three times it says it. He said it and it's going to come to pass. And he's not a man. The problem that people have with God is they think of him as a man. They think that he might give and then take it back, change his mind. They think that God might have a dark side to him. Never does. No darkness, no, what is that? No shadow of turning, the word of God says. Let's go to 1 Corinthians, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We're going to spend a little time in 1 Corinthians 2. If you have one of those little ribbons, you might want to put it there. God reveals himself to us. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 7. This is such a wonderful context here, talking about the mystery that's coming up, a little bit about it. We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery in verse 7. Even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Now, such an amazing, amazing thought here. You know, everybody talks about God being so mysterious. He's not so mysterious. He's really not. You know why? Because he revealed himself. He revealed himself. He gave us his word. And sure, there were things like this talking about the mystery, which we still call the mystery. Unfortunately, it still is a mystery to many of God's people, Christians. But the mystery, he said that God had to keep secret because had the devil and all of his henchmen known, they wouldn't have crucified Jesus Christ. Do you remember when he was walking around on the earth how much they wanted to kill him? Every time he turned around, if they had known, they wouldn't have killed him. So what we have today must be pretty special. It must be pretty great that God kept it a secret for all that time. Don't you think he would have loved to tell it? Who doesn't love to tell a secret? You know, shouldn't if it's supposed to be a secret. You know. Let's go to Deuteronomy, please, 29. We're coming back here. Deuteronomy 29. Deuteronomy 29, 29. So God's revealed his heart in his word. So it tells us about him. And if he is not a man that he should lie, everything we read about him here should be true. Now, it's easy for us to acknowledge that. It's another thing for us to walk out upon that. When God promises us something that we still think he'll bring it to pass in our lives. For some reason, some of us have a little block. It's okay that it works for everyone else, but I'm special. And I have special needs and special problems. So God can't work with me as he does with others. Well, not if God's right. He said all of them were in unbelief. Deuteronomy 29, 29. The secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. See, there are secret things that God has, but he has revealed and so beautifully revealed his heart to us in his word. His word is God in writing. He gives us his heart in his word. So he's not mysterious. He wants us really to know all about him. And how do we know that? Not staring at a tree. We know that by going to his word. The word revealed in here is kind of cool. It means to uncover, to make naked. It's used in Arabic to push back a woman's hair so you can see her ear. You just push back your hair and then you can see the ear. It's revealed. One of the guys said it's also to be bald. So I don't know. But I guess if you're bald, there's no secrets there on your head, right? 2 Peter, please. 2 Peter. 2 Peter. Chapter 1. 2 Peter 1. God wants us to know about him. And the things that he tells us about him, he wants us to remember. And then he wants us to act upon those words that he gave us. 2 Peter 1, verse 3, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. You know, we have to acknowledge that word. Verse 4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. And see, when it says the word given, it really means given. Not like dangled in front of us, but you can't have it. It's given. It's given. If he gave it, the gifts and the calling of God are without repentance. They're irrevocable. He can't take them back. Which are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you may be partakers of the divine nature. God says this about us, that we could be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust. He revealed his promises to us. And by the way, he gave us his word that takes care of all of life. All of life. All of life and godliness, he says. I wish my wife came with a book like this. You know, I've been married for 30 years and there are still mysterious things that somewhere below the surface there, I don't know, but God's revealed his heart to us. We have these thermostat wars in our house. I know some of you do too. And so we agree on a temperature and then I'm really hot, and I go and I look at the thermostat, and it's not on that temperature. And I go, well, why isn't it? Well, I was hot. or, well, I was cold. Or, you know, well, never mind. Let's just go on. Because they have to live with her in the hotel when we get out of here. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. So God's not so mysterious. He's revealed himself to us in his word. There was that one great secret that he kept secret, and for a good reason, so that we could have today what we have today. Every day is a garden of delight with our Heavenly Father when we're in fellowship with him. You know, 1 Corinthians 2, and that could be in Newark. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9, it says, "But as it is written, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him." All that time, God was holding back a secret, and wrapped up in that secret are things that nobody even could have conceived of. And you and I, sitting here today, have those things. Wow. What God did for us to have what we have, we really ought to take advantage of it. Verse 10, "But God hath revealed them to us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God." All that we have today spiritually is based upon what Jesus Christ accomplished. The God and Jesus Christ duo working through history to bring us what we have today. That's it. Jesus was obedient to God and showed us that we can be too. And God was successful in giving us what he wanted us to have, and we have it. Now look at verse 11. "For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the spirit of God." How much do you really know a person? Really? You know, how much do you really know a person? I think some of us have trouble even knowing ourselves. I remember a teaching Dr. Werwell did once. It was called "Man, a Stranger to Himself." You know, really, if we don't know God's word, we don't even know ourselves. But how much do you really know a person? You know, I lived with my mother for years, and she thought I liked white chocolate. At Easter time, everybody else got a chocolate bunny. I got this little albino thing. Because she thought I liked white chocolate. So how much do you really know? But see, also, with the Spirit of God, you don't know unless you have Spirit. And there is where we see such of the tremendous things that God has revealed to us. And the ability that we have to walk with him is by way of his Spirit. Look at verse 12. "Now, we've received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we may know the things that have been freely given to us of God." What an amazing verse. I'm going to read it again. "Now we've received..." Oh, and that word "received" is lambano. Any of you remember what that word means? Right. It's not just we've received, oh, it's nice to have this. It's received that we can use it. That we can use it. "We've received not the spirit of the world, but we received," lambano, "the spirit which is of God." Of God means it belongs to God. We're of God. Seed in us. You can't lose it. Can't get tarnished. "That we might know the things that have been freely given to us of God." Spirit, that we could know the things that are freely given to us of God. So there must be some things that are freely given to us of God. This word "freely given" is actually one word in the Greek, and it's from the word "grace." That's really kind of awesome. It's a word that means benevolence, God's kindness. It's to show oneself gracious. It's to do a favor for someone. So God, out of his gracious nature, out of his sweetness of disposition, God graciously gave us Spirit, which is the Spirit of God. One of the places I read, it said, "To do someone a favor in a kind manner with goodwill." See, God gave to us. There's no debt for us to pay. I love that when Tony shared today, you know, it's all extra credit for us. There's no debt to pay. He just gave it to us. And for years, he's waited for the day to be able to give what he had, and we're the ones that have it. Sometimes I wonder, why me? You know, I look around and I go, why me? Well, I don't know. It's a stupid question, really, because I don't know. I'm really happy, though, and stupid if I don't take advantage of what he gave me. And then maybe if I'm smart, I'll tell other people about it. Let's go, please, to Romans 11. Romans 11. You know, he could have given us his spirit so we could see all of our faults better. Or so that we could see each other's faults better. It's not what it says. He wants us to know what he's freely given to us. Oh, I wanted to read you. I looked this up in the Amplified Bible. It's kind of cool the way it renders this. That we might realize and comprehend and appreciate the gifts of divine favor and blessing so freely and lavishly bestowed on us by God. Isn't that awesome? Realize, comprehend, and appreciate. It's not just that we receive and look at it, but let's use it. Let's use what God gave us. Romans 11, verse 6. The problem is that the nature of man is to reject grace. I think Chrissy just showed us that so beautifully this morning. Verse 6, and if by grace, then it's no more works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it's no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. How clear could he make it? You know, how stupid it is for us to think that grace could be works or works could be grace. How dumb. But the word just tells us he gave it to us. The gifts and the calling of God, irrevocable. He can't take them back. He can't take them back. We got them. He gave them. Let's go to chapter 6 of Romans. Romans chapter 6. So it's of grace. It's not by works. Romans chapter 6, look at verse 23. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The paycheck that you get from works is death. But the free gift, the gift, irrevocable, he can't take it back, eternal life. You know, it's a pretty good deal we got, I think. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. It restates it here a little differently. So the nature of man is to reject God's grace, and that's why, like Chrissy told us, it takes a little work for us to overcome that nature. It's worth it. Ephesians 4:7, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. It's not of debt, it's freely given. He just wanted to do us a favor because of his benevolence. Because of his kind nature, God just wanted to do it. We needed it. We didn't deserve it. But because of who God is, who opens his hands and satisfies the soul of every living thing, that's the God who gave us, through his grace, Holy Spirit. And you know, he's not like the mafia. If you ask a favor of the mafia and they give you something, you know you have to pay it back sometime, don't you? People still think that God's like that. He is not like that. He gave it. He gave it. He gave it. You know, I've had people ask me, you mean to tell me that I could get born again today and go out and do something really heinous, and I'm still God's son? And I said, yeah. I mean, I hope you don't do that. But yeah. Because he can't take it back. He can't take it back. And it's not like Christmas presents. You know, Christmas presents are also, they are of debt. You know, what happens if you don't give your kid that Christmas present? Think of that. So can we call it a gift? Not really. Okay. Sorry, I'm treading on some tough territory there for people. All right, quick, go to Romans. Romans chapter 4, Romans. But really, if it's a gift, it's a gift. God's not a man, so we can't think of him in terms of people. People disappoint us. People say they're going to do something and they don't do it. People tell us something and that's not what they mean. God has clearly opened up his heart to us and revealed it to us, like Jerry said last night, in words. In words. So we can understand him. Wow. And he gave us spirit so we can understand those things that he's freely given to us. Irrevocable. 4:2. Romans 4, verse 2. For if Abraham were justified by works, then he's got something to crow about, you know, those whatever those works were that he did. But not before God. Let's just keep the record straight. For what says the scripture? Abraham believed God. And then it says it was what? Counted unto him for righteousness. Now, to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him. It was reckoned to him for righteousness. The righteousness that we got is part of the gift that God gave us, which is his Holy Spirit, which is irrevocable. Isn't that awesome? See, God could have still taken that away from Abraham if he wanted to. The righteousness that you have, Rick, it's irrevocable. Irrevocable. It's it. It's part of that gift that God gave us. The great gift that God gave us is Holy Spirit. That's the great gift that God gave us. And Holy Spirit has a lot of functions, has a lot of things that it can do. Each of those things is not a gift, but the gift is the Holy Spirit that God gave us. You know, it's like a cell phone. I have a cell phone, and it does a couple things. One thing I like that it does is it has that little flashlight thing on it. You ever use that? You know? So you push the little flashlight. It's part of the phone. You know, I got the phone, and that little flashlight thing was part of the phone. That was just a thing. It's part of the phone that I got, you know. Now, there's other things that you could get, but you have to pay for them. You know, it does a lot of cool things. Like, I do have this one. It's not only the flashlight, but it magnifies. So a magnifying flashlight, pretty good, right? Guess what? You have to pay. See, with the Spirit, it's not like that. God, I need to do a healing. Well, that's 10 bucks a month. I need to do another healing. That's 15 bucks a month, as long as you don't go up to 3. You know. But people do think that, don't they? You know, the Spirit, well, somebody gets speaking in tongues, somebody else gets interpretation. If you're really lucky, you know, you might get word of wisdom. Wouldn't that be good? That's 30 bucks a month, by the way. You know, but you see, the Spirit that God gave us, wrapped up in that Spirit gift that's irrevocable, are all these things that God wants us to do. To do. Not to sit and appreciate, not to be happy and smug that we have it, but to do, to utilize, to do for something great. Let's go to Romans chapter 3. The manifestations of the Spirit are not gifts. They're just manifestations of that one Spirit that God gave us. There's really not a whole lot of gifts that are mentioned in the Bible, quite frankly, to us. God's given us a lot, but as far as gifts that he's given, there's not a whole lot. Because what he gave us was so complete, has so much that comes with it. Romans 3, verse 24, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. What God got us, this redemption, is free to us, but it wasn't free to him. It cost God the life of his only begotten Son to get us what we can now use freely. So we can really appreciate the gift that God gave us. It's free to us, but it wasn't free to God. It cost him the life of his only begotten Son, his life for ours. And God paid that. God paid that. That's how we got this redemption. So we ought to be utilizing the redemption that God paid for us. He paid for it, so it's free to us. It's a pretty neat deal that we got. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians. Where'd they put that? Oh, they're all in the same order in the New Testament, aren't they? I'm getting there. Colossians 1, verse 13. Here's something we got. Who hath delivered us? That word delivered is to be rescued. He rescued us from the power of darkness and hath translated or transferred us into the kingdom of his dear Son. We've been transferred, rescued from darkness and transferred into the kingdom of his dear Son. We don't belong to this world. Remember that prayer that Jesus Christ prayed? He said, Father, I don't pray that you take them out of the world, but keep them from the evil one. Remember that? Yeah. Keep them from the evil. He sent them into the world, but they were not of the world. He said, you're not of the world, even as I'm not of the world. We are not of the world. Who are we of? God. We are of God. So we live in this world, but we don't have to walk by the rules of this world. And we're stupid if we do. Because in the world, like we heard this morning, the requirement out there is that you prove yourself. The requirement is out there that you earn everything. The requirement out there is that you have these limitations. Don't go beyond them. We don't live in this world. We're not part of it. Think of any of your favorite alien movies. You know, they don't live by the rules of this world when the aliens come here in those movies, do they? Well, we are kind of alien to this world because we've been transferred out of it into a new kingdom. So we walk and we can look around and we don't have to live according to their standards. We've got God's standard. We belong to him. Galatians chapter 1. If it's true, and if we think that God is God and not a man, then when we believe his word, it will come to pass every single time. So we might need to change a little bit in our minds. I thought that was funny today when Tony said something about to the kids. He goes, most of what you've thought is wrong, you know. Well, if you don't think a lot of God's word, that's true of you too and me, right? Wrong. We have a lot of wrong thoughts up there. That's why it's worth it for us to cram this in there so that we just think it. You know, I thought of when I first got into God's word, I was just stupid. I didn't know anything, and I knew I didn't know anything. And so when I heard I was righteous, frankly, I didn't even know what it meant, but I was going to be righteous. And so I acted righteous. And I did things that I, you know, shouldn't have done, that people had different expectations of me. And so I saw some miracles. I saw some healings. I saw things in my own life change very rapidly, because I just believed I was righteous and I was just a stupid person who knew nothing. Well, God concluded all in unbelief. And now that we're all so smart and everything, he still concludes all in unbelief. But for us, we got his gift. And we've got all these things that he's freely given to us. Galatians 1:4, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver, rescue us from this present evil world, this present evil age, according to the will of God and our Father. He rescued us. Let's go to Ephesians, please. Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4. Because I thought maybe we should just look at something here. We have all this stuff. What are we going to do about it? Here is in a verse, tells us, one verse tells us exactly how we do this. We got all this stuff from God, and here's one verse that tells us. Actually, I guess it's a couple verses. 4:22, Ephesians 4:22. Okay, in the practical section of Ephesians, that you put off concerning the former conversation, you know, the way you lived before, the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. What do we do? Put off and put on. That's what we do. God doesn't do it for us. We don't need to pray about it. We don't have to have a special work of grace or something for that to happen. You just do it. You do it. God says you're righteous. I say I don't feel righteous. Well, damn it, I'm righteous. And I keep telling myself I'm righteous until I believe it. And then I believe it and I walk righteously. When we read all this stuff about righteousness and all these other things, we already have it. It's not a question of that. It's a question of doing something with it. So you're righteous. Well, big deal. It is no big deal unless you do something with it. So how righteous are you going to act today? That'll make a big difference in your life and the people around you. Me too. Did I read? Put on the new man? Yeah. Which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Look at verse 10. And I put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Put it on. How do you put it on? It just means think it. It means think it. Right now, if I mention the word hamburger, guess what you're thinking about? I mentioned it, so you have to. You have to think about it. Hamburger, right? But now what if I said strawberry? Can you think of strawberry? That's how easy it is for us to put on a different thought. So how about righteous instead of dork? How about it? You know, the next time you think dork, how about righteous? You know, it's a little longer to say, but you know, why not? That's it. That's it. And that as we start putting the Word of God in our minds, which by the way, we're designed to think God's Word, if we start doing that, we start living more the way God wants us to live according to what He's given us, what He's made us to be. Let's go to Isaiah. Isaiah 57. Isaiah 57. I thought we'd look at something here. I mentioned that verse earlier that I thought of in Psalms, righteousness and peace have kissed each other. We've been given peace. Well, we have peace. We have it. So it's not a question of getting it. We have peace. But what do we do with it? How peaceful are you feeling right now? You know, how peaceful are you feeling tomorrow? That's what matters. We have it. We have it. But what do we do about it? In Isaiah chapter 57, look at verse 18. God says, I've seen his ways and will heal him. I will lead him also and restore comforts unto him and to his mourners. Verse 19. I create the fruit of lips, peace, peace, to him that is far off and to him that is near, saith the Lord, and I will heal him. So here he's talking about peace, peace. You know, that's a figure of speech, right? Repeated there for us to see that this is emphasized. But the wicked, verse 20, are like the troubled sea, which cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is, he makes it very clear here, there's no peace, saith my God to the wicked. People might talk about peace, they can't have it. The wicked can't have peace. But you and I can have peace. Look at what Jesus said. John 14. John 14. I read something recently about young people, how anxiety is a major factor and it's escalating in the schools. Kids have more and more and more anxiety. And you know, it's kind of interesting. Kids have more and more and more stuff than kids have ever had before, and they still have more and more and more anxiety. And their parents have done more and more and more things for them to try to shield them from this horrible world, and still they have more and more and more anxiety. The Word of God says we have peace. Jesus says in John 14, I think it's 27, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you." You know, they could have thought about the kind of peace the world had, but he goes, "Not as the world. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Jesus gave them peace. He said, "My peace I give to you." It's not the world's peace, whatever stupid idea they have of peace. It's his peace. It's his peace. Go to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. You all know verse 6, Philippians 4, 6. We know that word careful. It's like, you know, to be all caught up, anxious. We say sometimes, verse 6, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." And then what does it say? "And the peace of God." The peace of God, which passeth all understanding. See, it's a spiritual matter, right? "The peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall guard your hearts." It'll keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And then he tells us so beautifully in the next verse, what do we do? How do we think? Well, finally, dudes, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report. Where do you get all those things? The Word of God. "If there be any virtue and if there be any praise, you think these things." These are the things to think. And if we think them and think them and think them and think them, then we'll start believing them and believing them and believing them. And we'll start acting like that. Go to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, please. Chapter 2. You know, besides that Holy Spirit that he gave, he also gave gift ministries, right? Ephesians chapter 4, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. That's a gift to the church. That's a gift to the whole church. That's something that God gave, and he gave it freely. In Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, look at verse 16, please. 2 Corinthians 2:16. Okay, this just doesn't look right. That's because I meant Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians. Sorry. 2 Thessalonians 2. It's worth it when you get there, I swear. 2 Thessalonians 2. "Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself, and God, even our Father, which hath loved us, and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work." My gosh, what God has given to us. Besides all the things that God has given to us, and you'll be surprised at how many of them we've actually read in just the few verses we've read today. But he says, "Even our Father, which loved us, hath given us," that means he doesn't take it away, "given us everlasting comfort, everlasting consolation, and good hope through grace," not any works that you or I can do, but through grace, "comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work." That's our Heavenly Father. He's the God who opens his hands and satisfies the desire of every living thing. He's the God who wants to, for all of eternity, show his kindness to us. That's the God that wants us to take him at his word, that he's made us righteous. He's given us his peace. He's given us his spirit. He's given us in the body ministries. He's given us everything that we need to live in this life, which he's transferred us out of the adversary's kingdom and into God's kingdom so that we can walk with him and, like we read earlier, reign in life. Well, here's a few of the things he said he gave us freely that we looked at just tonight. Mercy, grace, peace, righteousness, eternal life, Holy Spirit, redemption, rescued from the power of darkness, all things that pertain to life and godliness. You know, I could have just read that one, I guess. Exceeding great and precious promises, forgiveness, gift ministries, the ministry of reconciliation. Oh, we didn't actually read that one, but it's in there, okay. Eternal consolation and good hope. We're going to close in Matthew chapter 10. Freely given, and he can't take it back. So if he can't take it back and he's freely given it, what are you going to do about it? What am I going to do about it? He wants us to use what he got. And it takes one thought at a time. You're not too old. You're not too respected. You're not too anything that you can't change, that I can't change. I don't have to be the person you think I am. I can always be the person God made me to be, and so can you. And maybe that'll do us and our neighbors a little good to see us that way. And maybe then a few more miracles will happen. And that'd be nice, right? Matthew chapter 10. Okay, forgive me, I have to get there. Matthew chapter 10. Jesus told the disciples this. It's not bad for us either to heed this. Matthew chapter 10, look at verse 8. Heal the sick. Huh? Isn't this awesome that he told the disciples this? And they weren't even born again at this time, right? Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. How you doing on the checklist? You know, oh, don't condemn yourself, but these are things that we can do with the spirit that we have, right? Then he says, freely you have received, freely give. God was so free, so kind in his benevolence, in his sweetness of disposition, in the great favor that he's shown being a loving, kind God. He's given to us what he's given to us, and it's irrevocable. Now the question for you and me is, what am I going to do about it? Well, freely you have received, freely give. Let's give great glory to our Heavenly Father, not by appreciating what he gave us. That's not bad, but let's do something with it, all right? And as we do that, think of how we glorify him.